Tonight's Big Brother draft means that the Big Brother season is just about here, and it's the start of a brand new month, which makes this the best time of the whole year to become a patron of Rob as a Podcast, because you get to try it out for the entire month, and you could cancel anytime. Now, this Big Brother season, we're going to be making two exclusive patron-only shows in our patron podcast feed for Big Brother. That's in addition to the Patron 5 for 5 and the Survivor Countdown feedback shows that we're also making in the Patron podcast feed. Plus, you can join the Big Brother discussion going on in our exclusive Patron Discord and Patron Facebook groups. And while you're waiting for Big Brother 23 to start, check out the wild Big Brother simulation we ran with a cast of our patrons last Friday night. I'm so excited about all of the coverage coming up this summer, and I hope you'll join us for all the fun in our patron community over at robhasawebsite.com/patron. That's robhasawebsite.com/patron to help support the Big Brother podcast you love all summer long. Enjoy the draft. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Sesternino back for the official start of Big Brother Week here on Rob Has a Podcast. Tonight, we draft the Big Brother 23 cast, winner take all tonight, and we have assembled some of the finest Big Brother minds around here for what should be a jam-packed preview of the season. Of course, it all kicks off on Wednesday night, July 7th. We will be live with coverage right after the episode here on robhasawebsite.com. Happy to have you here with us. Got a nice, healthy live audience here with us. So hello to everybody watching us live. And of course, everybody who's listening to the podcast feed, make sure you're subscribed to the podcast, especially to our Big Brother podcast feed, so you don't miss anything all season long. All right, let's welcome in the crew. Of course, let's welcome in a man who is here with us and not in the Big Brother house. Of course, it's Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I think some people were worried after some last minute substitutions, but no, I'm here. Ready to go, ready to draft some players.
Taryn has passed his COVID test and he is here with us tonight.
Yeah. Luckily.
Yes. All right. Taryn, how are you feeling about the draft?
I'm feeling good. I'm actually very prepared for the first time in a while. I have lots of notes. I have a whole order that I don't usually fully have. So I'm ready to go.
All right. Taryn is locked and loaded, of course, back with us tonight for the big draft. Of course, the start of it is Melissa Denny week on the podcast here. You'll hear her just about every night this week on different podcasts. Here's the great, the voice of the people, Melissa Denny.
What a way to come back. Have a whole week of Melissa. Very excited to be here. Although I have to say, I feel the opposite of Taryn. I feel totally unprepared. I feel like normally for the draft, I watch so many interviews of these people and I see them talk and I see them interact with, like, you know, the interviewer and see how they are in a social setting. And then, you know, obviously there's a bunch of questions being asked of them. And so I get to really know them. At least I feel like I get to know them a little bit before they get in the house. And this season, I feel like I've seen photos and I have read the little tiny snippets of them. And then I watched two questions be asked of each player from Us Weekly today. For some of them we didn't even see. Some of them were left off for time constraints or whatever, which was weird. So I just feel like I have no idea. I kind of feel like I'm going in blind. I have my normal, you know, order that I normally write up, but it could be anyone. It's kind of random. So we'll just see how this goes.
Yeah, Melissa, I think you're being a little unfair about the time constraints. These people in sequester have a lot to do during the day. Can't get to every single thing on the task list. Okay.
Yes, they can't answer the two questions that Us Weekly provided. No way.
Well, I think the problem is that some people may have gone a little over time.
Just a little bit.
All right. Very excited to have you back here with us, Melissa, and very excited to have with us the winner of the Big Brother Canada 9 draft. It's Amon Edwin. Amon, how are you?
Oh, the pressure is on. I've been freaking out about it ever since Sam asked me to be part of the draft. I don't know what I'm going to do with this draft, but I can tell you that the addiction to winning is real. So I will be doing everything in my power to make sure that I come out on top once again. We'll see what happens. It's going to be a bloodbath. I love to compete.
All right, Amon, I'll remind you, this isn't Big Brother Canada, though. This is Big Brother US, where your family has won the last two.
I know.
Drafts, okay?
I know. Right. And you know what? You know what, Rob? We're the adversary. We'll see what happens.
All right. And then I'm very excited to have with us here, joining us for the first time on the draft. It's not a Monday unless I get the podcast with this man, the great Pooya Zamakili is here. Pooya, how are you?
Delightful, Rob. Delightful. This has been something that I've wanted to do for a long time. That is, enter a draft with y'all, play this game, talk about the cast. The beauty of, I will say, Melissa, the beauty of us not knowing enough is that we will not look as bad as we would have if we had the full detail like we did with Winston, and then Winston goes early and then Winston's a hot mess. So Here. I'm ready for all the mess. I've got my power of vino on deck. I'm chilling today. Yeah. It's lovely to be here.
Is that from the CBS store? Is that a custom item? It
most certainly is a custom item. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
They fumbled the bag with quite a few things, this being one of them too.
See, I think that like we're giving them the context right now. But despite that, we will look even more foolish, even though we had less information, because we had less information. There's no excuses in the draft, Booya.
Oh, listen, make no mistake. You've made a big mistake by having me be in this tonight. I'm ready to take a crown or two, okay? I'm ready. Ooh. I'm ready.
Oh, gosh. Big words.
Okay, so the way this is going to work, Amon is coming off of his victory in Big Brother Canada 9. As a reward, he will choose the draft order tonight. So Amon will let us know. We did not know ahead of time, so we will find out here live what the draft order is, 1 through 5. It'll be a snake draft for round 1 and 2, and then round 3 will be the reverse order of round 1. So I know that sounds complicated, but basically if you have the first pick, you end up with the 10th pick, and rather than getting the 10th and 11th, you get the 10th and 15th pick. Okay, so if you have the 5th pick, you pick 5th, 6th, and then 11th. Okay,
just go with it. You'll be fine.
We'll tell you what's going on. Okay, by the end of the draft, it's the dregs anyway. Okay, just follow along, and that's maybe the most fun part of the draft. Okay. All right. Of course, you can chat along here with us. Use hashtag RHAP. Maybe we'll get some comments and questions in at the end of the night. All right. Amon, what are we doing here?
I kind of had an idea of what to do. And then when you made the decision to sort of like switch up how the third round is going to go, now I'm like having to rearrange. But I think that I'm still going to stick with my original plan.
All right.
Ladies first. Melissa, you can go first.
Okay, yeah. Well, tell us give us the whole order.
Melissa, then myself, then Pooya, then Taryn, then Rob.
Okay, Rob at the turn. All right. So
how many people are we drafting?
Three.
Okay.
One person will go undrafted. That will be the choice of the audience of Robins of Podcast. So you, the viewer, get to play along as well. And look, that the audience picks did quite well in Big Brother Canada 9.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, they did.
Yeah. Who did the audience have? What? Tara and Tina?
They had, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So look, we're right there. Okay.
They did pretty well, yeah.
All right.
Pretty generous to the audience, that's for sure.
All right. So Melissa Denny is on the clock. Melissa, with the first pick in the Big Brother 23 draft, whom do you select?
I am going to pick Claire.
Claire goes number
alternate
one.
Claire. Number one is the draft. Okay, well, this is
great because I forgot to talk about the headlines of the day. So I guess before we get to Claire, why don't we just do a little bit of news here? Because if you just listened to the podcast that Tara and I did on Thursday and are saying, Wait, who is Claire again? That is a great question. Claire is a brand new cast member that we had a previous cast member. Christy is out, announced today by CBS. Christy is out and Claire is in. Taryn, what do we know about this change?
Well, you might call her the Keisha of this cast. Hopefully she fares a little better. But basically Christy, who we talked about, in the cast assessment, who had alopecia, she tested positive for COVID, despite being vaccinated, and was thus, you know, had to be removed from the cast. And Claire here was an alternate, for Christy. And,
Christy is out.
Christy is out. Claire is in. And Claire is a big fan of the show. As we can tell, she is, I think, the co-founder, starter person of something called Survivor Michigan, which is one of those sort of fan run Survivor games that is filmed. She has played in these sorts of things before. She has her own dedicated Big Brother / Survivor Twitter, where she follows many of the, you know, people in the Big Brother community. She, I think, reached out to Rockstar for some advice.
Is that where you would go first, Taryn?
It wouldn't be my first choice, but I will say
she's fun.
She gave pretty good advice. It was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
So definitely big into the community. She knows what she's doing, and should be very interesting to see. Now, she is somebody who is very interested in all women alliances and taking down the alpha bros.
She, okay. Apparently, she also has like a 70-page booklet that she wrote on strategy for Big Brother and various competitions and how to play. And it just reminded me of Kevin Martin. And I was just like,
that's no booklet. Know? That's a book.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. A book. But, you know, we don't know if they're just like diagrams. We don't know. But, you know, it's impressive nonetheless, the fact that she's really studied. I mean, she talked about in her interview with Mike Bloom, you know, that she loves Lisa and Danielle. She loves June and Allison. So she's clearly a super fan. She says she started watching in one of the later, I think she said 17. But clearly she's gone back and watched everything. And she says she's a live feeder. And she also talks about how, like, as much as she wants, you know, to work with the women and get out the alpha bros and everything like that, she knows that, like, it's kind of like the cliched thing that all women alliances don't work. But she said that that's because of like who the people are that are trying to form this all women's alliance. Cause if you're trying to form an alliance, that's just because you're women and not because you have anything else in common, that doesn't really work out. But she talked about how she would be interested in like creating a duo with a girl, and taking it to the end like that. And I think that that sort of strategy is a lot better than just being like, okay, all the girls get together and let's just move forward. And I don't really see her doing that. I see her trying to like make friends with the girls and going from there. And I really love that. That's something I would love to do if I was on the show. And, you know, I just have to say, I mean, like, how was this girl an alternate? Like, how did we not almost get to see her? I feel like this should be a person who's like automatically on the cast, someone who loves the show, someone who's a super fan, someone who's got this 70-page book that they've written out about their strategy. I mean, that's what we want. And, you know, as much as I feel bad for Christy, I feel like she seems like a really nice person, and it really does suck that you don't get your chance to play when you're that close. But like, I mean, I'm so excited to watch Claire play, and I'm just so happy that she's on the cast. And it just makes me question, you know, what the thought process is to put someone like that as an alternate. And to be honest, Christy wasn't giving me that much with her answers. I feel like she seems like a nice person, but nothing about the show came through in her answers. It didn't seem like she really knew the show. And like her answers were very generic to me, aside from like her story, which I think is like great that she wants to come on and tell her story. And that's so good to see, you know, that sort of representation. But like, I mean, I want to see someone like Claire on the show. So I'm just very happy that we get to see her. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. And that's why I picked her number one.
All right. Well said, on the strengths of Claire. Any concerns about Claire here at number one?
The thing about Claire for me is I don't know, just, you know, theory is one thing, practicum is another. Mm-hmm. So there's plenty of fans that have written novels and theses and whatever have you about strategies to win Big Brother. How many of them actually are successful of the ones that actually make it on the show? I think that Claire seems like a very, very avid and quick study. I think that that's probably something that's in her favor, but can you rally people to your cause? Can you find, like, what happens if you can't find the female duo that you're looking for? What are you going to do? Are you just going to come in strong with the narrative of the guys have got to go? Is that something that might piss the guys off immediately and then you're just targeted until you're out? So I wonder if she has the finesse to do all the things that she says that she wants to do. Cause it's a very, she has a lot. She has many plans, and sometimes you got to plan your work and work your plan. And I don't know if she'll be able to do that yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's very tapped into the online community. She knows what they want. And maybe there's a concern that she would care a little too much about what they want. If she has a good opportunity to align with the Alpha Bros, to put her in a good spot, but she's like, I can't do that. Because that might be fun to watch, but it might not be best for her game.
True. Yeah, I feel like it could be a bad thing that she's, you know, I feel like some people can be, you know, too far into the community and the super fans and all that sort of stuff. And then it's good for us to watch, but it's not good for them.
I would love to see her do well, because especially since she was an alternate, if she comes in and she does really well, even if she doesn't win, if she makes it really far, then that should clue casting in on the fact that maybe you should be casting more people like this. So I hope that, Melissa, I hope that you are correct. And I hope that she goes very far, because I think we've been wanting our fans to like put money where their mouth is. You know what I mean? So I'm excited to see.
Okay. I'm always curious to know, where did other people have Claire on their draft board? Puya, would that have been your number one pick?
No. Claire, as it stood, was third on my list. So Claire had shot up the list very quickly. Christy was not in the top half, I'll tell you that. So Claire immediately comes in and is part of the top upper echelon of the cast for me.
Okay.
If I was drafting Christy would have been near the bottom for me. Just because I didn't get the sense that she knew the show at all or that she had any strategy going in. It just seemed like she was kind of just like excited to be there and, you know, all that. That's great. I'm glad she's excited to be there. But like for a draft, like, I don't know if I see the win potential there.
Taryn, where'd you have Claire?
I also had her third, actually. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm intrigued. I'm optimistic, but wasn't quite the first pick for me.
Yeah, I had her at four. Amon, where'd you have her?
To be honest, I don't think that she was really within the realm of me picking her first ever. I mean, I don't even think she's like, she has a number.
All right. So that
unnumbered.
And to be fair, I do want to say though, that like Claire, I only know her parade interview really. And I feel like a lot of the people I liked from the parade interview. And then I saw the Us Weekly thing today and a few of them went down on my list. So like there are some people who, if you had asked me yesterday with just the parade thing and not the Us Weekly stuff, I would have had maybe a different order. But now that I've seen some additional information on them, they've kind of trickled down.
Yeah.
Okay. So Melissa took somebody that was not even on Amon's list. So Amon will get his true number one pick here with the second pick overall. Amon, where are you going to go?
I'm going to go with Mr. Kyland Young.
Okay.
Yes. Dogs agree with me. I really enjoyed the answers that he had in the CBS interview. He is a very self-aware type of person. The one thing that I think I liked over Claire is because he and Claire had very similar answers about strategy and about, you know, finding the ride or die and then influencing conversations and stuff like that. But the one thing that I liked that he said, I think more than once in the interview, was, I'm very aware that this all sounds fun and dandy, like when you put it on paper, but I know that it's going to take a lot of work. And so the fact that he is aware of that, I'm like, okay, I'm like behind you, because you're not just out here just saying things just to sound good. You actually watch the show. You're a fan, you know, and he specifically cites how so many players come out of this saying, oh my God, that was so much harder than I thought. And the fact that he's like going in with that mindset, preparing for it to be harder than he thinks, just excites me. So I'm extremely excited to see how Kylan does. He seems also just very charming, very low key. He doesn't give off like bro-y douchey energy. He seems like he's going to be able to talk with a bunch of people. He's very family oriented. I like what he said about how he sort of is like the anchor for his parents and his siblings. Like he is the one that looks after his grandparents, his parents. Like I just think he's a very likable person, and likability is always key in Big Brother. And so Mr. Kylan, let's take it home, baby.
Okay. Kylan will hope to give him on two in a row here in 2021. Puya, you have any thoughts on Kylan?
Yes. So Kylan, notably, when the cast first gets introduced and we see the little, like, you know, the initial interviews, Kylan, the bios, Kylan was going a mile a minute, writing a whole essay. Yeah. It was a lot. What I learned about Kylan was, A, he likes to type. B, he loves popcorn. Those were the two things I knew about Kylan. Then today, when we saw the extra stuff that came out, specifically the Us Weekly video, Kylan was not who was in that bio. Kylan was a lot more concise, to the point. And I had a better impression of Kylan after that. So for me, Kylan ends up on my list. Kylan was sitting at fifth pick. So Kylan was in the top five. So I think there's a great pick at second. And I'm personally very happy about this pick, but we'll get to that segue when we do.
Okay.
I feel like I'm so confused because for me, I'm not seeing it with Kylan. And like, maybe I'm just so off and I hope I'm wrong, but I just like, mm-hmm. I'm not getting it. Like he was my last pick. Like,
you just don't like the competition because he's a movie buff and he's seen all the nominated movies.
I'm sorry, but I have to say that did influence me because you can't be like, I've watched all the best picture winners from the past two decades.
Let's explore this because Melissa, he watched just the winners and you watched all the nominees.
He watched the winners of the past two decades. That is 20 movies total. That's nothing.
How many movies
like,
did you watch, Melissa?
Is that something that you brag about? Like, I do not understand it. Like, all I'm saying is that...
Calling himself a movie buff? I felt like he was just saying he likes movies.
He was saying, he said to Mike Bloom,
he likes movies. Melissa loves movies.
He said, well, I love movies. In fact, I have watched the best picture winner of the past two decades. Like, that's some big impressive accomplishment. That is 20 movies total. I'm sorry, but I've been watching throughout this pandemic all of the Academy Award nominated movies.
He should have seen every movie.
I'm 65% done. That's like there are so many movies. You don't understand. That's like 10 nominees per year for a while. And then they changed it and put it to like 4. And then they put it back to like 10. So all I'm saying is that I've been watching all of those movies and he's sitting out here cast on Big Brother for his like love of movies. And he's watched 20 movies total.
So true.
So all I'm saying is that that's not impressive to me. I'm sorry.
Good point.
But is popcorn your favorite food, though? He loves popcorn just as much as he loves movies.
Do you love popcorn as much as he does,
Melissa? Well,
if he
loves popcorn as much as he loves movies, then he doesn't really like popcorn a lot, okay? He just barely likes popcorn. He's like 20 kernels.
Oh, my goodness. He can do no right with this movie. Oh, my God.
Look, all I'm saying is that, movie issues aside, I wasn't getting it from the interviews. I just felt like he didn't really seem to know the show. And he just seemed kind of like, I'm just here to have a good time. And like, whatever. I just wasn't getting like, this guy's a competitor. This guy is cutthroat. Like he's in it to win it. Like, I just felt like he didn't really know what he was getting himself into. And I hope that also what influenced me is when they had him give one word to describe himself and like everyone else is like giving a word that like tells me something about them. Like they're like, I'm, you know, whatever, I'm talkative or I'm this or that. He's like, I'm amazing. Like, that doesn't tell me anything. So I just feel like I don't. Yeah, but like, how though? Like, how? I don't know. I just feel like I don't. I just didn't get enough from him to be like, yes, I really like him. And so I was just like, well, I'm just going to like put him at the end because I don't know. So like, I really hope that like he is amazing on the show and he's right. And he is amazing. But like at this point, wow. I'm not so sure.
You really just yeah. rolled the credits on his ass. Damn. I mean,
here's the thing. This is my fear for Kylan. One of my fears for Kylan is kind of tied to this in that I think that he's just like a really good dude. He's a smart guy. I think he seems like a good guy. Is he prepared for the onslaught of people like Melissa on the show in a competitive exactly. environment? I don't know. That would be my one fear.
Prepared for me.
we just watched last year a relatively good guy who barely got into any fights win the entire thing. And yes,
he had a secret coldness to him.
Yeah, how many movies did he see?
Yeah, I need to ask the questions. How many movies?
I think that he's ready for it. I mean, he did mention Dan. He was like, he wants to be strategic like Dan, and Dan has a bit of a, you know, of an edge to him. So I'm hopeful. And I also like what he said about how he really is looking forward to, like, I think the thing that really initially got me was the fact that he said, I'm really not excited about being on TV. I'm just excited about playing Big Brother. I'm excited that people are going to be able to look at my game and rank it. And so I think that he's just going in with a very sort of holistic approach to the game. And that's sort of the mindset that I would want to go into the house with. And so I identified heavily with that. So,
yeah.
I thought it was interesting that it seemed like this year in Sequester, they showed Big Brother 20, Big Brother 16, and Big Brother 14. Like, it seemed like those were the ones. Do you think they showed 11 too?
Yeah.
Interesting. Oh, yeah, because they did talk about it. I just figured like they must be fans if they're talking about 11, because they probably wouldn't show that. But I guess, yeah. I mean, it was interesting. I'm glad they showed Big Brother 14, because they were all talking about Dan's funeral. Yeah,
usually give them like options, I think.
Yeah. And I think Big Brother 11, I think, is important because they're going into a season that is going to be based on playing in teams. And I think that they might have liked that dynamic. It might be something that they're hoping to sort of like implant in their minds. So maybe 11 might be a reason that they showed that one.
That makes sense. Well, yeah, I just felt like there was a lot more variety in their answers, whereas normally it's like I love Derek and Frankie. And like that's like every single like answer. But this year we got a lot more and I liked that.
Okay. All right. Any other thoughts on Kylan, the movies he's seen?
I'm very excited about Kylan. He was fourth on my list. I have high hopes. I think there's a good chance he might link up with Sarah. I mentioned that in the cast preview, that they both, Sarah is like a cosplayer. He's, you know, gone to Comic-Con. You know, there's a connection there, a little bit nerdier side of things there. They also both mentioned in, I think it was Mike Bloom's, questions, like, what are you looking for in an ally? They both mentioned just like, a calmness, like, Kylan said that somebody that's not paranoid, somebody that's like even steady, they both look out for that. So I think I could see them coming into the house, lots of big personalities, and them kind of bonding over like, look at how like wild all these people are. And so I'm kind of feeling that.
Yeah. He's not giving me fun feeds energy. And that's typically not the type of person that I go for, but I think that specifically seeking out tranquility will serve you well in the Big Brother house.
Mm-hmm. You know, Taryn, you mentioned Mike Bloom, and I just was reminded that I did want to shout out the most recent episode of the RJP B&B with Mike Bloom and the great Liana Boris from over the weekend. And I was not expecting it to be as newsy as it was, where Mike had a great breakdown of all of the twists from some of the reporting he's done and conversations that he's had from interviewing the producers of Big Brother. So I highly recommend you check that out. It has a great breakdown of how the Sunday night competitions are going to work in this casino themed version of the Big Brother house. And also, we're mentioning the Us Weekly interviews from today. I want to shout out the other MVP of the preseason, Sharon Tharp, who's done some really great work as she continues to do every preseason. So lots of great stuff that's out there to get more informed about the Big Brother 23 cast. All right. So two picks are down. Puya will have his first pick here in the first round.
Yeah, literally. My number one is on the board still. And I'm pretty surprised my number one's still on the board. I love this man. Liana loves this man. A lot of people love this man. I'm taking Xavier off the board. Give me Xavier. Mm-hmm. Come through, please, and thank you. I am so happy that this.
Yeah, he's up there for me.
Yeah, I mean, for me, from the minute we met Xavier, I was like, first of all, I was like, damn, Xavier is a specimen. Second, I'm reading this profile, right? I'm reading the bio. He had me at RIP. The minute he RIP Chilltown, I knew he was a real one. I knew he knows what's up. He's got the knowledge. I'm loving that. But you can't just pick someone because they gave a couple good answers on who they vibed and who they referenced, right? That's not enough. I got to hear the voice. I got to hear match the voice of the person. Heard his voice on the Instagram story videos they did. I was like, oh, yes, you sound amazing. This is also good. So I'm going to.
That's not a good enough word. You need a better word than amazing.
Amazing. Oh, sorry. Melissa, please. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
You can't say amazing.
Immaculate. No. Immaculate. Okay, we'll go with immaculate. And then reading the seeing the interview he did today, the Us Weekly one, I liked his answers when asked about throwing a competition. He said, depending on who the person is. A lot of people are like, I'll do it if I have to. Yes, I'll do it here. I'll do it. He said, depends on the person. I think he's going to be calculated. I think he's going to be thinking about it. The one thing I will worry, I'll also give you the con here, is he talks about people perceiving him as an arrogant attorney, which makes me think that he's going to tell them his occupation. That worries me a little bit. But I think he can overcome that potentially. And maybe the only flaw in him is he doesn't like coffee, Robin. You know me, I love my coffee. So we nearly didn't pick him for that reason. But more coffee for me if Xavier's not having any. So I'll deal.
Yeah, Xavier was the number one pick on my board as well. Looks like a really solid pick. I also really liked his answers that he gave in Us Weekly to the question about the. There were two questions that Us Weekly had asked the contestants, and we got their answers to it. One was, as Puya mentioned, would you throw a competition? Why or why not? And then the other question they answered was, if you had the choice to take your number one ally to the final two. Knowing it would be a close vote or someone you're not close with, but you could beat, who would you take? I heard a lot of bad answers today. I thought that he was one of the few people that I thought gave a good answer to this question.
Yeah, definitely. I really liked him a lot. And it's funny because we're like, normally we wouldn't even be talking about this Us Weekly thing because it's literally like two questions, whereas normally we would have like a whole interview with them. And so this would kind of just be like off to the side. But right now this is like all we have to go off of. And I know that there were some people, we literally are looking for crumbs. I know that some people had really good answers and when like, and basically showed the drive to win. And I feel like he was one of those people. And for the rest, I kind of wrote down just like, they have the drive, you know? And some of them didn't. And I was kind of surprised by that. Some of the people who I thought would have it and seemed like really good picks, kind of like I said, went down for me. But he definitely went up for me after this Us Weekly thing. I really do like that he cares about the game. He wants to win. He's, you know, he's in it to win it. He's going to do what it takes. And he's intelligent. He's smart. Obviously, he's an attorney. So, you know, you gotta look at that. I guess I would be a little nervous that he would share his occupation. Because, you know, that people will see that as a threat for sure. And honestly, I was shocked when he was only 27. I was like thinking he was older than me, but I guess not.
Yeah. So. Okay. All right. So Xavier, beautiful man. I mean, let's just be real.
Go on. Yes.
But.
Go on.
I'm just a little nervous about him only because I'm not getting enough warmth from him. I feel like, I think one of the answers that he had in the CBS website was, I just want to remind people that this is not an emotional game and to get rid of that. And I'm like, it is an emotional game. Like, yeah, you should be focused on strategy, but you have to cater towards people's emotions. And the fact that he is already saying, I'm worried that people are going to perceive me as an arrogant attorney. I'm like, have you gotten that critique before?
Yeah.
How are you behaving?
Yeah, like I would never say that. Like, I would never be like, I'm really worried people are going to think I'm an arrogant attorney. Like, I wouldn't even think people would think I was an attorney. So, like, let alone arrogant. Like, I mean, I don't. So that wouldn't cross my mind. But if I was sitting there saying that, you would think like, oh, OK, there's a reason why she thinks that.
He's definitely a fan. Like clearly he keeps up with everything and he's driven to win. And so that's always a positive. But I do worry, like, if can you rally people to your cause? You know what I mean? So I'm just a little nervous.
Looking at the crumbs, right? There was a moment that stood out to me. The question was, I think it was the question of would you take an ally to the end or would you want to go for the win? And I think his immediate response was something along the lines of like, Is that a real question? Come on. Which is fine. It's jokey. It's whatever. But it's a little bit like he's not going out of his way to make the person asking the question feel good about their question, right? Again, looking at crumbs here, because I really do like Xavier. He was my number two pick on the board. But I share similar concerns. I also feel like I'm not sure that he has a lot of immediate things to connect with others too. He's, as an attorney, I think he has a very different kind of work life than a lot of the people who are in the cast. And I think he stands out, you know, physically. There are only two other like really like Travis and maybe
Christian,
the other one who is forgettable, who can stand out in terms of like big physical presences. I think that we have a cast of people who may be particularly on the lookout for big physical presences, especially after a run of, you know, Jackson and Cody. So,
That was another thing that really, because I mean, when you got somebody like Claire coming up in here, being like, off with his head, like I'm like, damn, like I'm really nervous that he's going to become like an instant target. So it's I want to see someone like Xavier do well, but I'm just a little nervous.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's go to Taryn, who has the number four pick overall here in this first round. Taryn, you mentioned Xavier was your number two pick. Does that imply that your number one pick is still on the board?
My number one pick is still on the board.
Okay. It's very weird. I feel like this year, I mean, this is a good thing. I feel like this year we like a bunch of different people, whereas I feel like normally it's like we're all fighting for like the same top three. And then there's like a bunch of others. And now I feel like it's like everybody has their own number one.
To be fair, my two, three, and four are all gone now. So.
Yeah, well, whatever. It's number one, Taryn. Yeah. We're not talking about that stuff.
So a couple of people in the chat have called it a Derek X.
Damn it!
My number one pick. Derek, I thought you were going to take him, Amon. I thought for
if
sure
Amon
you were going to take
Xavier. If Amon had taken Xavier, I was going to revenge by taking Derek X. So
I didn't think that any...
You thought four picks? You know what? No, what? Seven? Six picks? You thought six picks would go by and you'd get Derek?
I thought that there was a world in which... I am devastated right now.
Oh, Amon, he tried to over strategize the draft order. Now look at what happened. I feel like you can never assume that people will pick who you think they're going to pick, because they're always going to pick someone that you don't expect.
Well, I mean, you can usually pretty accurately.
I wouldn't have expected you to pick this one.
Wow. Neither did I. And well, you know what? I'll let Taryn. This is
Taryn. Tell us about Derek X.
Derek X. He's a fan of the show, or at least it feels like it. He mentions Chilltown in his bio. He clearly like has. He's somebody who thinks about the game strategically. I like that. It was a little disconcerting to see him say something along the lines of like, "I'm gonna like layer in undeniable logical reasoning." Like that's whatever. But when I saw his video the video that we had of him. He seemed very chill and personable in the little snippets that we got. That feels good. He's also, you know, something that you may not have realized in, say, this cast photo, but he's a fit guy, and he's very good looking. And I think he could be very charming. And so, you know, as somebody that I think can do really well in physical competitions, but isn't so big and physically intimidated, potentially intimidating as potentially as some of the other bigger guys, I think that will work in his favor. So I really got a good impression from his both his bio and his video. The answers to the questions that he gave, he would obviously want to win the game. He would take the person he thinks he can beat, and he would throw competitions strategically if necessary, and no qualms about it either. Like, oh, it would hurt me. You know, I would be physically pained, but I guess I would do it. He's like, no, I'll do what I need to do. So I liked that. He also, he has a lot of connections of like different ways that he can potentially connect with people on the cast just right away. He's from New York, and that he has in common with Claire, and Brittany is in New York. He is, originally from, I believe, Baltimore, which he can connect, to Azza with that. He is into dance, or at least he took a dance class, which he could potentially connect again with Brittany and Hannah with that. He recently took a trip to Hawaii where Travis lives. So a lot of quick things to connect with people early on. That's very important when you want to get involved with alliances. And he's a good age here as well, 24 years old. He's definitely in the mix in a lot of different ways. And, I'm very optimistic about, where he might go.
Puya, you had a huge reaction to Taryn taking Derek X. Why did you want Derek so badly?
So Derek X was second on my board. I for a lot of the same reasons Taryn brought up, I think the video gave me the confirmation I needed that I think there's more to Derek. Cause I think you look at his first, the bio we saw, there's definitely a lot of like, I'm trying to fit everything into these logical patterns. And I thought, well, that's not the kind of language that I think will help you with connecting with people. But I think the charisma came through, the personality came through. I think that he is someone who is kind of in the middle where, like, I think he can link to many different people. I think he talks about in his bio, he brings up that he grew up and kind of fell into the typical Asian stereotypes, and then he learned how to cook his own thing. Like, I think he comes from a cultural background that now he has adapted a new cultural background of his own. And like people that, like, as someone who came from Dubai, went to Canada, and I was in the US, I think being involved with many different cultures helps you communicate with a lot of different people differently, and having that ability to switch between different people and speak better towards what you think is better with them, I think helps big time. And I think that he's someone that is, again, a very handsome man, very built man. I think he's still not going to be like, I think he's going to get discounted in that department, given how built maybe the other men could be here. So I think that all of these things said, I think Derek is somewhat set pretty well, in my opinion, to ride the middle, which I think would be a great place to be.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Right. I liked him a lot. Although he was like kind of midway on my list, so he wasn't in the top for me, but I do really like him. I just feel like I don't know enough about him yet. I couldn't tell if he was a fan or not. I was struggling to know whether he just knew a little bit about the show and was able to bring up Chilltown, or like if he's actually like a fan of the show. I couldn't tell. But either way, it does. I do agree with what you guys are saying. It seems like he can get along with people, and it seems like he could be in a really good spot moving forward. Especially if people are really trying to target like alpha bros or whatever. I don't know if I see him in that category. Maybe he is, like, maybe we'll be surprised. But at this point, it seems like he's just like really smart, down to earth, cool guy. And I think he'll get along. So yeah, I could see him going really far.
Let me just say on the sort of be a devil's advocate. He's a younger guy, 24. Any concern that he could be too young to be effective?
A lot of the people on the cast are like 21, 22.
Yeah, the average age is around 27. You know, most winners are around 26. So he's not too far off. And we've gotten younger and younger winners, especially in the later years as well. So I'm not too concerned. There's also, I don't think there's going to be a too big of a, like, there's only three parents, I believe, and only two people over 30. So
who are the parents? I was wondering that, because I feel like normally we get, like, in the interviews, them talking about their kids.
Whitney, Tiffany,
and Frenchie.
And Frenchie. Okay.
Oh, and Frenchie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I really tried to temper myself, because clearly Derek X for me is a thirst grab. I thought, Amon, are you overestimating? Are you overestimating? Yeah, I have water on standby. Are you overestimating the way that he could do simply because you think the guy is really good looking? And so that is why he should have been my first pick, but I went with what I thought might have been more
Rob puts the picture back up.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at that face.
Even the dog.
Can we just move on?
Okay.
Shaming him.
Wow.
I'm so upset. Oh my God. I have never been this upset in my life.
Yeah. Okay. Amon.
It's like when Tyler got taken.
Yeah. That, are you disappointed with Kyland as your pick?
No, I'm not. Cause I was going back and forth between the two of them, but I didn't trust myself.
Would Taryn be interested in a trade?
Ooh, he's my number one pick, Rob.
Well, maybe you can throw some on. Taryn's like,
no. Maybe if he gives me two.
Taryn, I'm wanting a chapstick for you, bro. Come on, the chapstick for you.
He ate the chapstick for his own dignity.
Would you eat a chapstick for
Derek?
Eat
another chapstick. Just go. Dude, offer chapsticks.
I mean, I'm not opposed.
Oh my God.
Okay, wow. This has been a wild first four picks of the draft.
Wow.
Okay. All right. So I'm on the clock here with the first of two picks. I'm a little surprised this pick is here at number five. I'm going to say maybe this is a steal at number five.
I think I know what you're about to do.
I'm going to say, give me Asa.
Yep, I knew it.
One.
At number five.
Yeah, she was my number two. She was my number one until I saw the Us Weekly things today. And then I put Claire ahead of her.
She's my number three.
Yeah. On Us Weekly, she's still going to take the loyal person to the final too. Like, hey, you say that in the preseason. Maybe it's a different story. When you get to, she throw a competition. She is a big fan of the show. She's dropping a lot of historical moments in the preseason. No showmances. She's good shape, good age, 30. Nothing not to like here.
Her parade interview was really good too.
Yeah, I love what she said about, I'm going to let these people win and I'm going to kick them out next week. Mm-hmm. I thought that was just so, I love that.
Yeah, as long as a manhole doesn't get her, she's looking good.
I think that she's in a decent position here. Again, she can connect with Derek from Baltimore. She's also a big fan of June and Allison, which she can connect with Claire about. I think all of the fans can potentially connect with each other. There's so many of them. That's a good thing to have. She has a very big family. That's something she could potentially connect with Xavier about, who has a lot of siblings. And what she said about wanting loyalty, while it was a little bit concerning in terms of her gameplay, it matched pretty well with what Alyssa was saying about wanting like a duo person. It matched what Claire was saying about wanting a duo.
I could see them forming a duo,
yeah,
or even so, like a triple situation.
Exactly. So I think that that desire for loyalty could definitely help her find somebody that she can latch onto to some degree. And she seems, she ticks a lot of the boxes. She's a fan of the game. She's definitely somebody who can, you know, compete. And so I'm definitely excited about her. I was definitely concerned as well when I saw the video interview and some of the answers. She mentions loyalty in almost every chance she gets, and that's not a terrible thing, especially for the early game. It concerns me for late game. You know, does she have the cutthroatness that is required for the game? I'm not sure.
Okay, we'll see when we get there at the end of the game. I'll take that as a problem to have here with this pick. She also, her interests include cooking. She's a fan of June. She knows what to do. Set up shop in that kitchen. Get all the information in the house. So
she loves Keisha's birthday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. She's set up here.
Yeah.
With number five.
And I think that the thing I didn't bring up with Xavier that I'll bring up here, having that big family, like that's a lot of people you got to communicate with. There's a lot of different personas that you have to gel with. It's family. I like that for the game. Like I would definitely, I think if you have a big family versus if you're like an only child in the game of Big Brother, being an only child might be a more difficult path in my opinion.
Yeah, can we just clarify here, because we're saying big family. No, her grandfather was a polygamist. Okay.
Yeah. She said
we don't know how big her immediate family was necessarily.
She said that she has over 300 cousins. Like I was brought into this world with a twin and I thought that was just too much. Can you imagine? Like, I'm just,
that's crazy.
I just feel like at some point, like once you hit 300, you're like, all right, we're dividing into subdivision. Like, you know, I've got my own segment of this massive conglomerate. Right. So I don't know if she actually grew up with like a ton of siblings in the same house or anything like that, but definitely.
I am moving so far away because I am not trying to end up dating one of my cousins. You have got me all the way effed up.
Oh, God. Yeah.
No, you have like a Facebook group?
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
It's the only way to communicate.
A Discord. Yeah. Yeah.
Discord for the family.
Why not?
There's one other thing I wanted to bring up with Aza here. I mean, the whole loyalty thing, it's a lot, but also we don't know what this footage the team captains are going to see. Anyone sees Aza's footage, it sounds like a gold mine. It's like, oh, why would I pick anyone else but Aza? She's loyal. Mm-hmm. Easy decisions for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So I have a second pick here, and I am going to go with somebody who I think might be a little bit more of a divided pick on the panel. I'm going to go with Tiffany here with my second pick, number six overall, first pick of the sixth round. I really like Tiffany on the videos today. I thought that she was somebody who I didn't really get a lot from her from the just written interviews. She didn't say a lot, but I felt like seeing her on video, I thought she came across really well. I know she's the oldest house guest of the season. She's 40. Look, nothing wrong with that. And hopefully she could fit in with a younger house. So give me Tiffany here at number six.
Anyone know what Mike Bloom was talking about when it said she has an alter ego?
I don't think we know yet. No.
Not to be seen.
Not yet.
Scared me a little. Like, I liked the Us Weekly stuff, but the Parade interview was kind of like, what does any of this mean? Like, what's an alter ego? Like, is that like I don't
Judas
know. I
just with Austin.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the alter ego thing kind of threw me. But, you know, remember Joey in Big Brother 16 and she like had her alter ego and she got kicked off right away.
But I think that she didn't invent the alter ego until she was on the block.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you, Rob. I liked her in the videos. I think that she, you know, we got very little from her in the bio, but I think she came off well in the video for sure. It's really the big problem here is I think her age for me. Again, when you have such so little to go off of, especially, you know, there have only been two winners over 30 in the history of the show. Mm-hmm. One was Evil Dick, Extenuating Circumstances, and the other was Mike Boogie in an All-Star season where the average age was much higher. So that's something to be concerned about. There are multiple reasons why that is a concern. She is, yep, you know, 10 years older than most people in the house, and a lot of the competitions are very physical. Now, she seems like she's decently fit. I don't think that she'll struggle too much, but there comes a point where you're competing against a bunch of 20-year-olds, and it's like, you know, what are you going to do? So that's my biggest concern with her, but I think that she can do pretty well. I think that we might see her stick around for a while, and I would love to see her succeed here because she seems pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. I like her too, but I am worried because she does seem a little low key. Where I'm thinking like how we just watched Tara, who was older than a lot of the people on her cast, also a mom, and how she had like a bit of a feistiness to her that did, you know, sometimes get her into trouble, but ultimately end up serving her very well. And I do wonder if she's, because she said that her strategy is just going to learn as much about everyone else and keep her mouth shut. So I'm like, so are you planning on reciprocating information with people? Are you planning on trying to build alliances? Like, or are you trying to do sort of like a solo game? Because I didn't really get she says that she wants everyone to like her, but I'm not really getting much of a, I need to bunker down with someone, and I worry if she'll get, you know, it'll be too late for her to get in where it's good, and then sort of get just kicked off because she's sort of inconsequential.
Yeah, I think that she needs, I want to see some, she needs agency. And I think kind of like the low keyness, like I need a little bit more agency there. We'll see. The ultimately for me, she was lower on my list. I think age played a big factor in that. The videos gave me a better impression, but to be honest, the bio didn't give me anything to begin with. So really from the start, we've been starting from Flabottom. Now we hear. Let's see where she goes from here. I think it's only going to improve with her. Since the first bio came out, I'm sorry, I have to use it somewhere. But genuinely, I feel like I'm only waiting to see more and more, and I think I'm going to get more than what we have right now. So
we will get right back to the draft coming up with Taryn's second pick. But first, let me thank our sponsors for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at BetterHelp Online Therapy. As we are beginning to see the light at the end of the COVID tunnel, a lot of people are still feeling down and emotionally out of sorts. Now, you might not feel depressed or at a total loss, but if you're feeling a little bit off, and I know I have at times, your relationships are suffering, that could be a sign that you should talk to somebody. Whether you're feeling anxious or you're struggling in your career, having trouble sleeping, online therapy can help. Visit BetterHelp.com/RJP. Fill out a questionnaire to help BetterHelp assess your needs and match you with a professional licensed therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours via secure weekly video, phone, or even live chat sessions with your therapist. And BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great matches, so it's easy and free to change counselors if you need a better fit. Online therapy is convenient and more affordable than in-person therapy, and our listeners get 10% off their first month of online therapy at betterhelp.com/RHAP. That's betterhelp.com/RHAP. Let's get back to the draft. Okay, we have number 7, and we go back to Taryn here. Taryn, you are on the clock with the second pick of the second round.
This is rough because there's literally 3 people that I had a really hard time in this exact spot here. After number 5, after Azza, there were 3 people that I actually reorganized multiple times. I'm really upset.
Would you say
about
that there's a drop off after the first couple of picks of this cast?
I would say there's a drop off. Yeah. I mean, obviously these, all 3 of these, they're all women, could be fantastic. You know, in terms of like what I know for sure, there's a lack of information on one of them, a little bit of lack of information on another one. And then, I was very excited about one, but then the video kind of threw me off a little bit. So, it's a tough call here trying to figure out exactly where I want to go. So I think that, I'll go with Alyssa.
Okay.
Yeah. So I loved Alyssa's bio. She had a great game plan in terms of wanting to win the first HOH, build an alliance, have an extra person on the side. I thought that that was great. She has a couple of different potential connections, from Florida. So she connects Sarah there, that loyalty thing. I think that she definitely can fit in with some of the women who are looking for loyalty a lot. My concern with her is that in the video answers, she was somebody that was, was looking for, again, like too loyal, which is a concern. She also, the way that she answered this one concerned me. She said, that she would, never throw a competition. Never. She's a competitor. She would never
dare to compete.
Well, unless it makes sense to throw a competition. But I don't see how it would make sense to throw a competition. She hasn't thought about that. That's concerning. The fact that she bounced back and forth, like, obviously you wouldn't, nobody would throw a competition unless it made sense to them. So saying, I wouldn't do it, never, unless it made sense. Well, right. That's the whole, you do it if it makes sense. Okay. So that bugged me. But I think that there's still a lot of potential here. Just again, the fact that she has thought about a potential strategy in terms of knowing that she should win the first HOH and all that, I'm excited about. And it's again, it's just a lack of information on some of the other players that's stopping me from picking them. But I'm hopeful for her, and I could also see some big downside potential as well, but I'm hoping she doesn't go in that direction.
Was a weird one for me because she was one of my top picks after the initial like parade interview, and then after the videos today she dropped really low for me, just because like I was really excited that I felt like she had a strategy and was ready to go and knew the game and all this sort of stuff, but then I just like I didn't get that winner's energy from her. I didn't get the drive to compete. I felt like it was all about loyalty and not throwing competitions and this and that. And like, I just felt like I wasn't confident in her strategic ability after the videos, which was surprising because like that was the thing that made me excited about her in the first place. So I don't know whether that's just like she has it down on paper as like, this is what I want to do. But then like the second she's like asked about it in the real context and in real life, it's kind of like, oh, I don't know. I'm just going to like see what happens. And so I don't know. I'm really confused now after watching that interview. But I'm hoping that she's more like the parade interview than she is like the Us Weekly questions. But, I don't know.
Yeah. Alyssa is gorgeous. And that's like, I think the extent of my notes on Alyssa. But I mean, I think it's an interesting pick. I think that there's definitely a lot of good that could potentially come from her. Cause she was definitely one of the ones that I was kind of vacillating with too. So I think it's a bit of a gamble. I don't know.
Well, big risk, big reward, Amon. This is a season of big gamble.
I mean, clearly I took a big risk today and I did not get rewarded.
You got burned. Yeah. All right. We'll see with Alyssa. All right. Let's go back to Puya for the eighth pick overall. All right. And we're halfway there.
Yeah. So I've been oscillating since Taryn made his pick of, am I going to go with my heart or with my head? And I feel like Xavier was 100% a head pick. I definitely feel like made the most sense for me.
Heart pick.
This person.
Incoming.
Listen, I mean, this person, right? Don't know about the win equity, but do I want to be in a Mon spot where right after my pick, this person gets picked and I'm upset that I didn't pick him? Give me the man I want. Know. Give me the entertainment. Give me Derek F. I want Derek F on my team. I want to
root for
Derek.
He was next to me.
Yeah. So for me, I'm worried about Derek F's capability of winning potentially, but that means nothing because it really depends for me on where does Derek end up in the house with which group. It's very easy based on one video we saw. The charisma's there, the entertainment's there, the energy's there. He's got all of that. So for me, what it comes down to is he going to gel with his fellow house guests? Who are the fellow house guests? But ultimately, I just couldn't see a world where I don't pick him because I know it's a winning draft. But even though if I'm not high on the win equity, I want him on the squad. So this was an easy decision for me. And the videos today gave me more of that energy that I saw from that first bio. So I'm about it. And Derek, also one of the, I think the only person to have referenced season 8 in his bio, which I thought was gives me enough proof that you know, I know that's not the season that's like making the rotations in Sequester. So I know that this is a season he knows of on his own volition. So I'm very happy with this. And I think he's someone who, you know, his father is Smokin' Joe, famous boxer. I think he wants to be his own person. And I think he's just going to be doing his own thing. I don't think he's going to be too concerned about, you know, what are the eyes on him? What's going on? I feel like, you know, when new players, it might be panic of what's going on. I'm in the public eye. I'm on national TV. I feel like Derek's going to be composed with that stuff and he's just going to have fun. And I want to be on the fun with him. I do.
All right. I really like him. He would have been my next pick. But I do feel like, and I do feel like it would be based on like personality alone, just because like, I think he seems like a really fun guy and I feel like he'll get along with people really well. I think the concern for me came really when today I watched the Us Weekly interview and he didn't understand the question and said he'd bring along his best friend or something in the end. And I was so confused. I was like, wait, what? I was so confused, like why he was bringing his best friend from outside of the house to the final two. But yeah, I think he just misunderstood the question and I'm just going to go with that.
I thought he was just kind of like saying like, oh, well, imagining my best friend in the house.
Exercise.
Yeah.
He was using the best friend as a placeholder. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
Because you can't imagine like a random person would mean enough to you that you would actually take them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you guys are giving him a little bit more credit than, you know, for not just misinterpreting a question. But I thought it was also funny because I don't have any idea who Smokin' Joe is. And I honestly thought it was like the owner of a famous barbecue chain. Like that was my initial thought was whenever I was like, oh, Smokin' Joe's. I was like, oh, okay. Like Smokin' Joe's. Like the restaurant where you like smoke meats. I don't know.
I love it there. So good.
That was like my first thought. And I was like, why does everyone care about this? But apparently that's a thing. I really do hope he does well. And I hope he can stay in it. And I just hope that he has the strategy and he has the drive to win. And I could totally see it. We just have to like hope it's there. I don't know.
I mean, I really couldn't ask for a better casting. I'm fairly certain that I have run into Derek a number of times in the game right here in Philly. I mean, talk about representation. It's literally a black gay man from Philly. I mean, what else can I ask for? You know what I mean? I think that this is superb casting. They typically do not go for people that are larger. For whatever reason. And I just think that this is just hitting such an unseen demographic and sort of an unseen personality type as well. And so I was definitely eyeing him up my list. I do still worry about the win equity because of the fact that I wonder if he'll be so likable that they're like, get his ass out of here. I just wonder if he'll go in there, hold court, be the fabulous person that he is. And then everybody's like, I don't know. These America's votes are looking a little, you know, swinging in his favor. So that is the biggest thing that I have against him. But other than that, there's so much upside. So I'm excited to watch him play. I think it's a really good pick.
Yeah, I think my concerns came from the video questions. He mentioned that he would be loyal. He keeps it real, which, you know, is fine, but would have liked to see different answers. Even more concerning to me, though, he did say that he would throw competitions, but specifically he said, like, I want people to think I'm weak and pathetic and like, oh, he can't do anything. That's not really what I want to hear from a player because while it might seem like, okay, nobody will look at him as a threat and stuff, it also means that he might not have much agency in the game. And that's something that you kind of do need if you want to do well, whether it's through, you know, your strategic machinations or your competition ability. Wielding power in the game is good, and actively trying to avoid wielding power is usually not that great. So I'm a little bit concerned about the agency factor for Derek, but I'm very excited to watch him play because he seems like he's a lot of fun.
Should be a lot of fun. Okay. All right. So Puya now has two picks in the books. Let's go back to Amon, who once upon a time thought that he would take Derek X here at number 9. But Amon, Who will you add to Kyland on your team?
I just need y'all to understand like the physical pain that I'm in. Okay. Oh God, what am I going to do? I don't know if I can take this girl. I don't know if I can take this girl. She's so young. Okay. I think I'm going to, oh God, but he gives me such smarmy vibes. I just don't know about him. Like some of his answers just piss me off, but I feel like he has like some Nicole Franzel kind of upside. What am I going to do? Okay. I'm going to take Brent. Look, he seems very, very, I feel like he's a little bit too sure of himself sometimes. Whenever he says, you know, I am going to use my charm in all caps, I'm like, I feel like charming people don't ever have to talk about their charm. I think they're just charming. But I like the fact that he is going in with such a paranoid mindset, because we've seen other players be very successful with that kind of thing. He's very much on that type of energy where it's like, I got to get them before they get me. I cannot get got. And if you are someone that's always trying to stay above the fray, that's always good. A good paranoia is always good for Big Brother. We saw Nicole Franzel is literally that. And so I'm like, I'm so turned off by reading some of these answers, but maybe I need to give it a chance. And so I'm taking a risk. And I think he's good looking. He also said that he has no problem with giving attention to either men or women. And so I'm like, all right, he might be out here flirting up a storm. And so it's a risky pick, but I'm taking it.
All right.
His charm is powerful.
I was going to pick him next. So, you know, you got him for me. Honestly, wow. I did not love his parade interview. This is like one of the opposite situations where I didn't love his parade interview, but then I saw the video today and it was totally different than what I expected. I felt like he was very real and very soft-spoken and kind of just like calm. And I was very surprised because I was not expecting that from the parade interviews. And so I liked him and I felt good about him after watching that. And I felt like he was very different than what I was originally thinking he was going to be. And so I was happy, but
I agree. I thought he was very good in the video version today, mm-hmm. where I did not have him as somebody that I would have taken high a couple of days ago, but then he ended up pretty high on my draft board.
Mm-hmm.
Did we all watch the same video, right?
I'm with you, Pooya.
Maybe it was low expectations.
I don't know. He was like looking in like weird places and like he was kind of whispering and not really speaking up. And I thought, well, this is not the voice of someone who's going to have agency in the game. It's very whispered. Someone said he's a flight attendant. Maybe he's talking to the, you know, he's out here. And then he's the guy who talked about
it.
He talked about the rightfully getting blindsided nonsense. I was like, I'm just waiting for you to get blindsided. And then the biggest thing of the day for me was this whole like, ooh, I believe that, you know, loyalty, like the medieval times, we need to go back to the medieval times with this. And I was like, sir, what are you smoking on? What is this? What do you mean medieval times? Like he wants, like, what is it? One, like a blood pact in the house? It was just, I was absolutely floored with this guy completely.
All of that. See, I had the exact same reaction to all of that. I did, but I am like, I think that there might be.
You might do well.
I'm like, I think that there's some savant like stuff going on right now where he'll go in there and I think it's the paranoia for me. That's what's really doing it for me. It's like the fact that he's like, I'm not letting anybody get me. Like, and I like that. That's really risky but attractive to me.
We're going to get the answer to if Jason Biggs was jacked and on Big Brother, how would he do? And we're going to find out
Jason
very
Big
soon.
Brother.
I didn't like the paranoia from Brent. I think that he seems like he is closed off in the interview and I could see him being closed off in the house. I couldn't really find anything that he could connect with people on in the house. He's not really, I mean, Rhode Island you know, maybe he can be like, hey, New Yorkers, I'm a few hours away. You know, I'm in the Northeast. That's the closest I could find, really. So I just feel like there's not a lot there. If he is soft-spoken and he's kind of closed off, then I feel like he may have trouble connecting with people early on. I could really easily see Brent as a first boot, personally. And I also, I'm with Puyi. I did not like the loyalty stuff that he talked about. Mm-hmm. He wants people to be ostracized for lying. He said that he would go for the win in a final two scenario, but he would not lie about it. He'd be honest about it. He would not promise anyone final two because he wouldn't want to lie to them and say that he would take them when really he wouldn't. And that's a concern. You should lie to people in Big Brother. So that's my biggest thing. I'm worried that he's not going to be social enough and that he's not really going to fit in. And that he's going to be way too focused on this. This is what I'm going to be doing. And then I can't trust anyone. I feel like he's going to be, you know, way too cautious about giving away secrets or like personal information or whatever it is. And it's going to keep people at a distance and it's not going to work out, I think, as well as he hopes, but we'll see.
I will add, in a vacuum, flight attendant is a good job for these reality TV shows. Some other flight attendants from the history of reality TV of note, Todd Herzog, Tina Wesson, a little lady named T-Bird Cooper. It's a good skill set. You're dealing with a lot of people who are, Bailey. It's a customer service job. You're dealing with people who are a lot of times having a really bad day. You got to deal with them. You can't lose your cool. So, you know, it could be good practice. Yeah. I don't hate this pick.
He also, to me, did not seem like he knew the show very well. It does not seem like one of the fans of the show.
Yeah, I take all of that. I do. But I think I'm wondering, because I think picking the men this time around, I think it's just risky anyway, because I think that there really are some women that are out for blood this season. I'm wondering, I don't necessarily know if he'll be the first guy that people will target. I do worry about some of the more vocal men that they have on the season, like a Frenchie, like an Xavier. That's where I'm like, you might be able to sneak by a little bit. And then maybe once, you know, they start eyeing you, it's just a little bit too late. So I'm relying heavily on the soft spokenness because, you know, sometimes it's better to keep your head below.
All right.
Yeah. So I feel like if you're a big guy, like an athletic guy, like you should, it's better for them to be soft spoken and quiet and all that sort of stuff. Like, I feel like there's a difference. He seems like it.
He's definitely fit. I think
I'm just picturing him as a short person. I don't know why.
Maybe you're,
I think because he looks like Tommy.
Ollie.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah.
I don't know. All I know is that I thought he was like a fit, whatever, big guy, threatening, whatever.
He seems fit, yeah.
Figure, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so like my thought was like when I saw that he was more soft-spoken, more subdued, that was good for me because, you know, if you've got like a loud, like brash, you know, I'm this big physical threat kind of person. I think that puts a huge target on your back and automatically you come across as like, you know, this alpha male type character. And so when I saw his interview and saw him more subdued, I was impressed and excited because I was like, oh, it's different than that, you know, archetype that I was thinking it was going to be. And I also think that to me, I didn't really see him as being closed off in the interview. I just felt like it was more real. I don't know. I felt like I look back towards like, you know, the old diary room sessions where it was like, they would just like be just chatting and kind of just like leaning back on the thing and like talking through their thoughts and not necessarily like, hi guys, this is Big Brother. And guess what we did in the backyard. And I feel like, I feel like I was excited because I felt like a lot of them today when I watched the Us Weekly stuff were more subdued and weren't those like big, like bold personalities that Big Brother has come to like be known for. And it made me, you know, excited about this cast. And I hope that that carries over into the season where it's like, we have a more real group of people who are just there to compete and be real and normal and like put these people in a house together versus like, I'm here for airtime. And, you know, that's kind of the vibe I was getting from these interviews. And it's possible that the Us Weekly interviews that was just the vibe of those interviews. And we have no idea what's going to happen, you know, at any other interview. But like, it gave me some hope and gave me some excitement that this was going to be a different feeling than we had in previous seasons. So I'm hopeful for this cast.
All right. Melissa, you got the ball rolling.
Yeah. And now you guys have taken everybody.
Claire, now you have the number 10th pick. 10th pick overall. Oof. Last pick of the second round.
My 6th pick is the highest on my list that's still available. So, you know, it's not so bad. So, you know, I'm just going to go with it. Although it does make my list look very similar. But you know, whatever, I'm picking Whitney. So we've
all
got
right.
two blondes.
Whitney. All right.
You know,
Whitney.
I wasn't thrilled by her parade interview, but I felt like after watching the Us Weekly interview today, I really got a better sense of who she is, I guess, and that she's got the drive to win and that she's there to play and that she is not just there to kind of like be on TV or whatever. She is there to win for her kids and she'll do what it takes. And that, I think, was very exciting for me. And I feel like, you know, I don't know if you guys have seen the whole thing that's gone around about her like backstory. But I guess she's kind of had a lot of struggles and it does make you think that she is in it to win it and she's not just going to like blow this opportunity. So I really was impressed by that. And, you know, I could see her doing really well.
Okay. Any thoughts on Whitney?
I wasn't too high on Whitney. She was definitely in the bottom half of my list. I'm not sure if she's a fan. I'm not sure. It's a tough one to call. I think I was leaning maybe, but that's not very, you know, informative. She doesn't really have many connections that I can immediately see other than the fact that she's a parent. But that only connects her with, you know, is two of the more, the older, contestants, which I don't think is a group that she would want to be in necessarily, since it's, there's not many of them. I think she would prefer, or at least I would prefer for her strategically, that she fit in with the much more plentiful younger crowd, and I think that she absolutely can. There's just not a lot that she could maybe immediately connect with, so that's a little bit of a concern. And so beyond that, it was really just pretty neutral overall. I just like, she seems fine. I did like her in the video. I thought she came off well. I'm sure that she can do decently, but there's just not a lot that stood out to me as overly positive.
I think for me, Whitney definitely has gone up my list more so since the cast release date. Learning more about her background and her backstory of where she's been, knowing that she's literally had to be in a whatever it takes mentality to raise her kids. I think that goes a long way in a game like this. You gotta just have the resilience to get through 90 days of this mad game. I do think, Taryn, one thing that can be like, we should point out is that Whitney is big on TikTok, as is Brittany, as are a couple people in this. I think there's quite a few. I think a lot of the dancers in this cast will have at least brushed with TikTok. So I think that will help her if there's any worry about her connecting with like the younger cast members potentially. I think the TikTok connection is something that could work. So I'm definitely more keen. I think the whole thing with her level of fandom, it's difficult because in her bio, she does reference both BB19 with Jess and Cody and Brenchel. To me, that's like, okay, at least you know more than what they gave you. But how much do you know? Are you just piercing the surface with like, you've just watched the seasons and you've moved on? Or do you know a little bit more? I'm not sure. But I do think that there's a little bit more upside here with Whitney that I might have not realized initially after marinating on her bio and on her information, and the video today also helped as well for me.
Okay. All right. Anything else on Whitney? Okay. We will close out the second round here. And so round three, it will be the reverse order of round one, which means I will go next with the first pick of round three, number 11 overall. And I feel like the board has gotten thin.
Yeah.
Yes. I feel like that everybody that's left comes with some flaws, but I'm going to take the person that's the highest on my draft board. I don't know if this will be a popular pick, but I'm going to go with Brittany.
Wow.
Brittany, the kindergarten teacher.
She's a future teacher.
Yes. Okay. Future teacher.
Whatever that means.
Future big brother teacher to all these fools. Yes. Western New York represent. Black belt.
All right.
Black belt.
Choices were made. Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
why'd you pick Rob? Why? Well, give me the lowdown.
You know what? I feel like that she has strengths, which I wouldn't necessarily feel like. I feel like every single person there in the house has. I feel like that she's not a big target, both figuratively and literally. I think that she is very competitive, and also she doesn't want to beat Paul, and Paul has lost twice. So if she doesn't want to get Paul, then maybe she'll win in one of these times.
She doesn't want to be Paul.
Yeah. What's going on, Amon? People think she's annoying?
I feel like that's what we're afraid of.
I think that she's hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm afraid people will think she's annoying. I'm not saying I think she's annoying. I'm just saying I'm afraid it might get to be too much.
I do wonder. I mean, she does have some Frankie Grande energy, like high key. But Frankie Grande, exactly. Frankie Grande wasn't necessarily a bad Big Brother player. And so, I do wonder if, as she talks a lot, like she just will talk your ear off. And I wonder if people will become annoyed with that pretty quickly, or if it just, maybe she'll be the one that really breaks the ice and sort of sets the tone for the season. I think it's definitely a risky pick. I'm interested in watching her play. I mean, she had a lot of knowledge about the game and she's really excited to play the game and be on Big Brother. And so she says that she wants to be her true authentic self. She said that that's gotten me here. So why change now? So I think that she's very, very driven and that's good. She talks, man. She talks. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the video today was 9 minutes. Brittany's answer alone was about a buck 45.
She got all the screen time, Puya. She got all the screen time.
If I walked into a restaurant and I'm standing to order and Brittany's in front of me, I'm leaving. I'm like, I'm not going to get to order today. Like, that's not happening. I was like, it was so much so that they were like, all right, we don't need to know her second question. We'll move on. We'll give the time to someone else. Like, it's a lot. That's a lot. And I do think that someone like I just see Brittany being the paranoid one. I just see that. Like, if you're thinking a mile a minute like this and quickly and a lot and a lot and a lot, you're the one that's going to talk yourself out of things and stuff. This is going to be a very difficult ally for the alliance members potentially. I'm worried for her. I do think she's got the upside to maybe slide the jury, but I mean, I'm wondering if she has no time at the final two to talk, you know?
I'm wondering if she has like Christy upside, not Christy on this cast, but Christy from BB21, who was very neurotic and very much like could talk your ear off as well. So that's where I think that she like has some legs to run on, but
I'm wondering if she'll accidentally like reveal information and like, you know, just like talk too much and end up like revealing stuff or end up saying something that she shouldn't have said or whatever. And I feel like, I don't know. And plus like people just not wanting to talk for that long, like, you know, without really saying anything. I feel like it's that, like, you know, that like challenge or whatever, where you're trying to ask a question or say something, but without saying anything, it's like, if you could pick one person, and you know, it doesn't even have to be a person. It could be anybody, like person, you know, person, it doesn't matter. It could be a person, or even honestly, it could be like someone you have seen before, but you don't, it could be a thing too. It doesn't need to be a thing. Like literally you just have to keep talking and not say anything. And I feel like that's what her answer was today, where it was just like, wait, like, but what's the end result of this answer? Like, I still don't feel like I know what she was trying to say.
She don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
she's excited.
I will say, like, you know, we're judging her off of one answer to one question in one video, yes. Right?
No, we're judging her off of the novels that she also wrote as well.
Yeah.
Kylan did not do it in the second place.
Benefit of the doubt here is if she's writing this, who knows when she's writing, maybe she has nothing else to do. And she is, I think, somebody, you know, she talked about, she's very smart. If she's just kind of running through scenarios out loud in response to a question, I can kind of understand that. I don't think that she is necessarily going to be as much of a train wreck as people expect her to be,
just based off of
this brief interaction that we've had with her. She was somebody that was toward the bottom of my list just because she's not somebody that seems to know the show super well, which concerns
also,
me.
Also, we are at the bottom of the list.
Yes.
There's five people left.
Yeah. And in terms of what we have seen, you know, I think there are some other people that I was a little bit more optimistic about. But but I think that, you know, what I've seen online are people, this disaster. Like, I don't think we necessarily are there yet. Now, she absolutely could be. There's potential there.
Any of them could.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean,
easy on the hyperbole.
The TikToks alone are extremely... they're chaotic. I mean, I just that she has a lot of chaotic energy to her, and I don't know how much of it is performative, and I don't know how much of it is just who she is. But like I'm not as annoyed with her either. I don't think that she's going to go in there and just flame out. I think she just talks a lot. You know what I mean? But that just might not serve her well.
We haven't seen her in conversation. Like, does she also listen? I think is a very important thing.
I mean, yes. She's a kindergarten teacher. She's not like talking over the kids all day.
I feel like
future kindergarten teacher.
Yeah, she's a future teacher, Rob. I feel like this is the same sort of reaction people had to like Marissa from Big Brother Celebrity. And like the people in the house, I feel like weren't annoyed with her. Like, I feel like the people watching feeds were annoyed with her. I wasn't. I enjoyed all of her stories and I liked listening to her. But like, I know that that was some of the conversation. And I feel like the people in the house are what matters. And they didn't really have that. They had fun talking with her, and her and Ross were really entertaining. And, you know, she made it to the end. So I feel like that it isn't like a death sentence or whatever if you are talkative. I feel like, and just because people on the outside are annoyed with you, like, okay, well, who cares? You can still win the game. So
can I just be the first to say it? Give her HOH week 3 and watch the feeds unravel beautiful magic. I'm okay with that. Like, ultimately, I'm here for that kind of nonsense for sure. 100%.
Okay. And if she loves to talk, she can come on the podcast. Be nice to hear from somebody from Big Brother. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go to now the second pick of the third round, number 12 overall, and that falls back to Taryn. Taryn will round out his team here.
This is interesting. This is interesting. I actually still have the other two left that I was trying to decide between of the three.
What?
I have to make another tough call between these two, is annoying. All right. So I'm going to go with Hannah.
Hannah.
Oy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Why Hannah?
Here's the thing. Hannah, we did not get any video of Hannah. No video. I have no impression of her in video form. That bothers me. She's also one of the youngest, if not the youngest, on the cast at 21 years old. That concerns me. But I'm still hopeful. She is a fan of the game. And she does have, you know, she's in that dance kind of group with Brittany and Derek, that maybe she can get in, or have an in there. Again, it's hard to say too much about her beyond just like, you know, the bio and who I think she could be, based off of that. But I am optimistic. I am hopeful that, hopeful that she can turn out well. And I'm hoping that at least between her and Alyssa, one of them turns out well. Maybe the other one flops. Who knows?
She's more of a mystery box with the others. These other cans have dents on them. this one, we don't really know as much, like what could be right or wrong.
I think this is, I think that she really is a dark horse here. I wanted to take her as well. I really struggled between the whole Christian or excuse me, Brent versus her thing. And I think ultimately because of the fact that she is so young, I just went ahead and took Brent first. But I think Hannah is just, she's just cool. I mean, I watched some of her dance videos. She just seems like a, just a cool girl. She gives off so much like little sister vibes. I feel like people are just going to want to protect her. You know what I mean? I don't think that she doesn't, she's not threatening. She seems to have a very sweet personality. I don't see anyone coming for her. Like what, like, and, unless she makes it a point to make herself visible, who's going to come for Hannah? So I think this is a really good shot. I think that she, maybe the baby can win. I think that there's a shot there.
Yeah. I mean, for me, you know, Hannah representing that South Asia. I love that. I'm happy. Yes. As someone from Asia, I need that in my blood. We got it. I love it. Also, I think Hannah is now the first house guest to have been born 2000 and after by being born in 2000. So that's wild.
By the way, happy birthday to Big Brother, which aired 21 years ago tonight.
Yeah, she's the same age as Big Brother. Wow.
Yeah.
That is really crazy.
Meant to be.
She is someone who has achieved a lot for the young age she has, right? She graduated at age 19 from university. Like, that is not easy. Mm-hmm. But also, I think seeing her presence on social media, there is this fun side to her. There is this, like, it's not all work and no play. There's both. And I think that's very important. I think she's someone who, because of how serious she has to be to get to where she is academically, I think she's not going to be perceived as like a, you know, a youngin who's an afterthought. I do not think that. I think that she's a big steal here at 12, which is why I reacted.
I was like,
I just need Taryn to pick someone else, and I'm golden. Mm-hmm. But no, this is a great pick. I think that the dark horse of the season could very well be Hannah. The one concern, obviously, I will echo the same thing, is that we have not seen some more of the answering of the Big Brother style questions that we did with some people today. Mm-hmm. We'll have to wait and see what happens. But given this makeup
Brittany
of this cast,
all the time
decent. Blame Brittany, folks. You didn't get any Hannah. It's Brittany's fault.
Watch so, Brittany the be the one to take Hannah out in the game.
Yeah, she took her interview time and I was going to take her out.
Straight to the heart.
Melissa, any thoughts on Hannah?
I feel the same way as everyone else does. I mean, like, I just don't know. I think that she seems smart. I have written down that I think she's smart, but I don't know what else. Like, I feel like we really didn't get that much information from her. And I feel like we've all been saying, we're using crumbs to determine like who these people mm-hmm. are. And if we don't even get a crumb, it's really hard to, you know, pick her. And so I do think that this is a situation where it is a mystery box. And, you know, I really hope that she does well and I hope she impresses us all. But at this point, like without that little teeny Us Weekly interview, as small as it is, like we don't really know.
Yeah. Okay. She's Purple Hannah. She didn't get Us Weekly interview. Okay. All right. Now we go to Puya, who has the 13th pick overall, the third pick of round three.
All right. The pickings are not easy and slim, so it's going to be difficult here.
Let me mention for the listeners, there are three men left and one woman. The three men are in alphabetical order, Christian, Frenchie, and Travis. And the one woman left is Sarah.
Yes. So for me, it's really between two people. There's really between two people. And ultimately, it's a decision because there's someone who jumped ahead for me after today. There's someone who jumped ahead for me. But ultimately, I don't know if I'm going to be able to pick him. So I don't think I'm going to pick him. I'm going to pick someone who I argued when we first saw the bio is very self-aware. And then having seen more stuff come through on the social media front, I think they can maybe do it and there's some upside to them. I'm going to go with Sarah. I'm going to leave a sausage fest as the final three. I'm going to go with Sarah here and take Sarah off the board.
And wasn't her word self-aware when they were like, I mean, what's the one word to describe yourself? And she said self-aware.
If it was, she nailed it. Because Sarah talked about, Sarah said, hey, I'm going to play a floater game. Now, obviously, do you mean floater or coaster? We'll find out when the game starts. But someone who kind of has that awareness of maybe I'm not going to be the one shooting from the hip right out the gate. I like that Sarah also said that she will take anybody to the final two that she can beat. I love that. And I just think that if Sarah can manage the first week, maybe second week, Sarah's going to be fine. Sarah's going to ride it out. I think that the initially, you know, I read this bio and I see the whole, you know, the cosplay side of things. And I was a little bit worried. I was like, is this going to connect with people? Then I've watched some videos online of her singing, of her being involved. I'm like, oh, Sarah's social. Sarah's out here talking to all these communities, doing all these
cosplay
things.
Cosplay is very social.
It's massive. Yeah. And I think that having someone like Kylan there who also has this, you know, they have this connectivity. I think that's good. I think based on her vocals make no but based on her voice, I think she's going to be seen as like, oh, I don't, she's going to be underestimated. And I think that's a very good thing to have in your arsenal, especially with what's going on here. Now, my biggest thing with Sarah, biggest worry will be the format of the season, the team format of the season. I could see Sarah being in a little bit of trouble as like a casualty somewhere. If like her team is up or like she's in danger, I could see her going up. But again, let Sarah survive a couple weeks. I think Sarah's going to be all right. Let's see. I wanted to take the risk regardless. I'm going to live with this decision just fine.
Yeah. What she said in the interview with Mike Bloom is one of the biggest challenges will be that I really have no idea how I'm going to be perceived. It gives me anxiety to think about it. So I'm trying not to think about it. So I don't know if that conflicts with the idea that she's self-aware. But that may have been, that exists in her. She was the other person. She was my, she was my number 8 overall, for me. And I was deciding between her, Hannah, and Alyssa, to choose. I think she has a lot of upside. She seems to know the game at least a little bit. I do like the, connections that she might be able to make with Kylan. She may be able to connect with Alyssa, about Florida. I actually liked her video clips. I felt like, you know, you never really know when it comes to the more nerdy archetype, like how social are they? You know, how are they going to come off? And I felt like she came off very chill, very approachable, very easy to talk to. So I, again, based on tiny little clips, but she seems fine in that regard. And so I think that she has a lot of upside here and she's definitely somebody I'm looking out for.
All right. Anybody else have anything on Sarah?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Here's where things get interesting. All right. Christian, Frenchie, Travis, Amon, Melissa, and the audience. Okay. One for each of you here tonight. Amon, at number 14 overall, you will choose first of these three.
Do I go with the fellow BB Twitter stan? Or do I go for one of these gentlemen with locks? Why do I have all men on my team? What the hell did I do? There's too much testosterone up in this joint.
You yourself said you felt like that the women were out for blood this season.
I know.
And you picked the order.
Aaron's taking Jeff. Jesse, would you like to run down the laundry list as to why? You know what? Never mind. Anyway, I am going to choose I'm going to choose Christian.
There we
Christian.
Go.
Christian.
Yeah, I was going to get into like he said like the chess piece. Has he taken his hand off the piece yet? But he went with Christian. So.
Okay.
Why
Christian, Amon?
Because I think he seems like a really sweet guy. I don't get like the douchey type vibe from this casting. I love the fact that he's a Zanky stan. That's fun for me. And I think it's more so why not the other two more so than it is why Christian. Frenchie for me is just, I'm just so worried about him because he's also one of the other people that is like, I want to get rid of all of the men in this cast. I'm like, you're a man, bro. Like, what are you doing? And also the fact that he, like the answer to his question about like, what do you look for in an alliance? And he's just like, it seems like he's one of these people that is very much tuned into the fan base. And I think that he's going to be caring far too much about that than playing the game and doing, appearing to do the right thing. And Travis, for me, I mean, I'm pretty sure that Barstool thing was like a joke, but I don't know. I'm just not jazzed about Travis. So I think Christian was kind of the lesser of three evils for me.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So less about Christian, more about the other flaws with the other two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Christian for me was ninth overall. So I mean, still bottom half, but a bit high. I mean, he's just below Sarah for me. And that's because I think that Travis falls into, as you know, Aman kind of mentioned, the more bro-y, douchey role than Christian does. And I think that makes Christian look better in comparison. I think that if we are going to look at recent winners, I think that, you know, Christian, Travis, that archetype tends to do well in modern seasons. They do well in competitions. If the competitions are similar, then that could be something to look out for. They also tend to be not necessarily like the bro-y, like Cody isn't the bro-iest guy in the world, but he's still a bro. Right. And Jackson, while he is very bro-y, was the lesser of the two bros when Jack was there. So, you know, I think that he's in that kind of sweet spot. If this archetype is going to succeed, it'll probably be him over somebody like Travis. And, you know, he seems charming enough. He's good looking enough, good enough at competitions, and we could see him do very well.
There's one thing I want to say. So for me, out of the three, he's the most like, it's all right. Like, it's fine. You're at the final three. This is the easy, inoffensive pick.
It's very middling.
Less risk. Yes. Being a Kacer fan, hearing someone say 13 hours and I'll get off and give someone else the HOH, I was like, that's insane. Like, that is insanity. I don't care if it's your alliance. That was a bizarro answer. But other than that, he's all right. We'll see. Like, for me, he's in the same position as Tiffany, where if he does anything, I'm like, oh, that's already an improvement on where I saw you. So, and I think he is, based on the makeup of, you know, the previous winners, like Taryn has brought up, I think he's built for that, for the longevity. But we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. Look, I think that probably Christian and Travis are undervalued here at this point in the draft. I mean, the last two winners of Big Brother were Cody and then Jackson before that. And
but
really,
the pendulum
Tyler
is shifting now.
Sure, exactly. The pendulum is shifting now, but has it shifted
we
yet?
We hope the pendulum
we're
is shifting.
We're predicting it,
and
it will.
Fans, yeah. And the fans may, and it might. But at this point, you know, like chances are like some of these guys might do better than, you know, we're treating them like that they're going to be like the first three people out of the house in the way that we're drafting. And I bet that's not going to be the case. So, you know, some of these picks are going to be better values than where they're going at right now. If this is the, you know, the stock watch, you know, maybe buy low on these people because, you know, chances are some of them might end up going far. And the fans are going to be probably down on them, but maybe that's the psychology of the stock watch. Not my forte.
I mean, like, no, I agree with you, Rob. I think we have seen this type of this archetype do very, very well. But it's troublesome for me only because of the fact that with this whole new casting initiative, which I'm pretty sure most of these people on the cast are pretty aware of. You know what I mean? I do wonder about the meta of it all, like.
Certainly valid point. Yeah.
And the fact that there are so many women that are like, get rid of these guys. I'm like, this is going to be a hard one. This is going to be, it's going to be a rough one. But I mean, I think that he is at least, he seems like he's a good natured gentleman and sweet. And so I feel like, you know, once people start, you know, making relationships and the weight of the game sort of dissipates a bit, I can see him like, you know, chatting it up with people and the ladies and like, and maybe the ladies are like, you know what? I don't want to get rid of Christian yet. I like him. Screw that. You know what I mean? So we'll see.
I think he easily has Tyler upside.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. BB20. Yeah. Okay. And actually, you know, that's probably like diminishes like how good Tyler was for BB20. But I mean, he has that sort of archetype upside where he's somebody that, you know, everybody can get along with in the house and ends up going far. All right. So
although at the same time, Tyler was a really big fan. So like, I feel like there's a difference there in terms of like Tyler was like we could tell he like loved the show and was like strategic and that like going in at the same time, he was going to play up his whole like, oh, I'm just a surfer bro or whatever.
Yeah.
And who knows about Christian.
Like when Jeff coup d'etat Jessica.
Yeah. Yeah.
The worst. He did like it.
Yeah, he did.
That was weird.
Okay. All right. So Melissa, you are down to one of two picks, Frenchie or Travis, and the audience gets the other.
Yes. Okay. So I don't know if it's this one's that tough, I guess, but like it is a little strange because I feel like we're constantly like, oh, we need to cast somebody from Big Brother Twitter and like Stan Twitter and all that stuff. But like, well, the fans are not you in particular.
People on Twitter, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. But you know, you want to see people that you like, I don't know, that you see on Twitter and Reddit and stuff get cast. But, you know, I am concerned for Frenchie because Frenchie, I don't know if he can really fit in with everybody. And also, like, it doesn't seem like the rest of the cast is like BB Stan Twitter kind of people. And so, like, it might be kind of a disconnect there. And also, if he shows his cards and says that he's a huge fan and blah, 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 then that puts a target on his back. I also think it's funny how everyone's like, oh, he's like Donnie or whatever, which like only because he's wearing overalls, I guess. But like, honestly, like people are like, he's an older guy. He's 34. Like he's like my age, essentially. Like, not really. I'm 31. Like, you know, I'm close to that. And if people are like, he's the old man of the group, I'm like, are you for real right now? So, you know, I am concerned for him, which is, why I'm kind of going to swing in the other direction and I'm going to, pick Travis.
Okay.
I'm concerned.
I just feel so bad because I feel like Frenchie is definitely going to see this when he gets out.
And the First of all, when he said that, when he justified the whole, like, I'm going to pick the one who I might not beat, but because they're deserving and because Derek did it and pick Cody. Yeah. That's not a true super fan because that's wrong.
What are you talking about?
I wonder if he was like licking himself afterwards.
You say you were going to take Frenchie and then taking Travis is just like when Derek took Cody to the final two.
Because I should be picking him because he's a Big Brother stan, but like, I can't, I don't see him winning and I could see Travis winning.
People are really up on Frenchie because of this, because he said that Derek took Cody instead of Victoria. And that means that he's lying about being a fan. Look, we have, he's obviously.
Oh,
been
no,
watching
I don't think
show.
That he's lying no, about
I'm
being
not
a
saying
fan.
You are, but I've seen that all over the place. Like,
that's crazy.
Let's be real. He made a mistake in the moment, right? Like it's not like he was lying about being a fan.
I sort of interpreted it differently. Maybe I'm being, you know, Captain Save a person, but I thought that he
Captain Save a person.
I didn't want to say the other word.
The
I just
had greatest superhero.
In fairness, a lot of the superheroes are Captain Save a person.
Captain Save a person.
That's why they're superheroes.
I thought that what he was trying to say was because Derek had made his entire alliance be like, no one's going to take Victoria. Never, never take Victoria. Never take Victoria. Never take Victoria. That he was pretty much making the assumption that Derek would have taken Cody anyway, but maybe I'm just giving too much, you know, credence to.
I thought you were going to say, Amon, that you were going to be Captain Save a Person and say he was obviously trolling and he knew that Cody actually took Derek.
I mean, he could be. I mean,
I would find
he
that more plausible.
Some of his other answers were very, very humorous. So, I mean, there's the realm of possibility for that to be a thing. So,
Go ahead. The amount of times I have accidentally said the wrong name is countless, or even straight up just like got the facts completely wrong because I wasn't thinking properly in the moment. And then you're like, oh my God, why did I even say that? Like, it's a lot. So I don't know. I guess that's where I'm coming from.
But I mean, listen, we all know what community we're from. People don't forgive that stuff. Like, you will never hear the end of it.
Yeah,
like,
he knows he's going to
say it once.
He probably left that interview being like, oh my God, what have I done?
He's gonna,
like, yeah. I, yeah, I think he's like, I'm absolutely, I know that he's like an actual fan, and that doesn't like negate that just having one wrong answer. But like, and, you know, it was pretty funny to see that him make that answer and be like, wait, what? And I like started to think like, did I forget the season? Is that how it went?
That also today, Julie Chen Moonves said that Bob Barker hosted The Price is Right for 55 years. And that is definitely not correct. Also, in another interview when she was asked about how long, it was 35. I looked it up, not 55. Julie Chen almost hosted Big Brother for as long as
lying about The Price is Right fandom. Yes. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I don't believe she's a true fan.
But Melissa, we're here to talk about your pick.
Yes.
Travis.
I think that he's like a nice enough guy. I didn't really love any of his answers, to be honest. And this is mainly going off of personality because, you know, in his answer, he talked about who's deserving of a win, which I always hate when people say that. And he also, you know, didn't really give any indication that he has like any strategy. But I do think that he seems like a really nice guy who will get along with people and who will be funny and lovable, possibly, you know, we hope. And I think that that can get him far. I think that people, if people like you and want to keep you around, you know, that's good. And also, you know, I do think he mentioned maybe possibly like throwing a few challenges in the beginning to kind of make it seem like he's not really this big threatening guy. That could, you know, go either way. Cause maybe it's like, he doesn't win the competition in the beginning and everyone's like, okay, get him out now while we can, or, you know, it does have him come across as like, hey, I'm not really super athletic. I'm just like a fun loving guy or whatever. And, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. But I think part of the reason why I would pick him over Frenchie is because, you know, Big Brother Stan Twitter, and I know I keep like mentioning this, but like, you know, they love like drama and fun and like exciting feeds. And I think Frenchie would like want to give that to us. And I think, you know, that probably won't be great for his game, but it'll be great for the feeds and the people will love it. But like, that concerns me is that he might be catering too much to Big Brother Stan Twitter versus like someone like Travis, who's like not caring about that at all because he probably doesn't even know it exists. So yeah, that's why I'm picking Travis over Frenchie.
Yeah, I was concerned about Travis based on his bio. You know, we talked about that. I watched the video and I was hoping to be like, oh, okay. I felt like, I mean, personality wise, I'm sure he's a charming guy. I'm sure he's fine. But his answer, I felt he bombed both questions. He said he'd be loyal and take his friend to the final two.
Yeah, not good.
And then he said, yes, I would throw competitions. In fact, I plan on throwing the very first competition. And in fact, the first few competitions. I want to lie low and stay under the radar. Dude, no, you can't. You look like you. You can't do that. The best move, as we've seen, Jackson Cody, is to win the first HOH and build something. That's his best up, like his best weapon in his arsenal is that early competition ability, that early ability to win people over, build something. And he actively wants to avoid it. And so it's like, oh boy. Oh, that's unfortunate.
You're right, Taryn, because the thing that could keep him safe, especially in the way that the game is designed to start off, is that we're going to have four teams of three. So winning the competition keeps him, keeps the whole team safe. And if he's one of the teams that's vulnerable, like he's a, you know, early target to potentially see the block. So I think that we could see maybe. Even though I said that, I think that I don't think these guys are going to be the first three people out of the game. I do think that there's a good chance that some of these strong guys could be targeted early, because what's the best way to weaken the other teams and make sure that your team can win safety for the week is to take out some of these stronger guys.
And to be fair, I do think that because it's teams, he probably will try to win that for my team. I can't throw anymore. I got a
squad.
Yeah. And so that'll probably be a good thing for him. But just clearly, like, the decision making ability, the strategic process here is non-existent, or at least that's what it's
the like. Only thing that made me waver on my, because he was bottom on my list and he started shooting up a little bit, was the one answer with who do you desire, what do you desire in an alliance partner, because his whole profile was Brett and Winston. Brett, like, he's like, he wants to fully bro down, but then that one he said, I want someone who doesn't look, act, or talk like me, and then said it would be a huge play to go with someone well, maybe an older person, someone who's married or playing the nerd role, which I thought, you not knowing anyone who's married is a wild thing for me to find out like this. Like, that was weird. But I liked the idea that he's cognizant of, maybe I'm not going to just be with all like the bro dudes. Maybe I'm going to try something against my comfort zone. But what, like, for all we know, he just like slides back into that comfort zone right away. But that is something, at least I like, that he's thinking about looking elsewhere potentially.
Yeah, that, but that, so, see, that's, that concerns me as well in the way that he said it, where it was like, you clearly have no experience.
Oh, it was the worst with any of it.
He was like, I'll take one of them nerds.
Non-charismatic. Yeah. I'm the charismatic. Yeah. You don't want charismatic.
Just,
give me
one of the other. That'll be the right formula. If you could just, be my ally. Thank you. Like,
accepting applications now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. That's our draft. Let's talk about the person that the audience gets to pick. Congratulations, Stan Twitter. You get your guy. It's Brandon Frenchy French. He's yours, fans.
Age does have a big part of the fact that I had him as low as I did. Only two people over 30 have ever won this game. That's not a great place to start.
I cannot believe that's a 34-year-old. Like,
It's
the sun. He's out in the sun all the time.
Yeah. Well, I think also the beard being a little gray is like messing with my mind, but
he has very little that he can connect with people on as well. I think, you know, somebody mentioned like they don't want him to necessarily I think he absolutely should reveal that he's a fan. I think that's the one thing that he might be able to connect with people on, especially people like Claire. I think he needs to connect with people on, like, hey, we have nothing in common, but we both love this show. Let's talk about the show. I think that's his one in, and I think he needs to play it.
Do you think when Frenchie comes into the house and they say, oh, Frenchie, how old are you? He said, well, I'm 34. Like, God, he is lying about his age. He's not 34. This guy's not 34.
Get him out of
here. He's lying. He said that this is like Derek.
He's
I mean, he's a farmer, you know, like genuinely, I think it's believable. I think it is.
I know. They run with this stuff, Taryn. You know this.
That's what they'll do. They'll say he's not a farmer. He was definitely military. He's some kind of Marine.
I think he actually is. Didn't he say he was a little bit?
He has military background. He does. Yeah. On the stuff we saw today. I will say, for me, what Aman said sticks with me, because I read his profile today. The answers today. And I was floored at how bad these were. Like, they were very much Miss America pageant of, I'm going to say the right thing for the audience at home. What do you design an alliance partner? Diversity.
I'm like, okay, bro. What is that? I appreciate that there are people that are cognizant and they're trying to. So I'm not going to, you know, be that down on him. But I just, I feel like there's a sort of, maybe it's too strong of a term, but like a bit of a toxic positivity going on here. It's just like, I'm gonna like give us the BB season that we all want, and it's just gonna be everything. The fans are gonna love it. Just wait. It's gonna be spectacular. I'm just like, oh, I don't know yet. But I will say that he does have a very inspiring story. I am glad that one of our own is on the show. Mm-hmm. He unfortunately lost a child a few years ago. And so the fact that he is able to sort of like bounce back from that and be here on what it like I said, I've interacted with him on Twitter like several times, and he is a mega fan. And so I'm really excited that he gets to get out there and play. And I just hope that he doesn't like say, let's go after the guys because you're going to be next. What are you thinking?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. That's our draft. That's our, let's recap here. All right. Aman got things started. And Aman's team ends up being Aman.
I have Kyland.
Yes.
I have Brent, and I have Christian, and then I have Derek X in my thoughts and prayers in mind forevermore.
Okay. So Kyland, Brent, and Christian. Do you have a name for this team, Aman?
I don't come back to me.
Okay, we'll come back.
Every like 5 seconds, I go through the existential dread.
I apologize. Melissa actually got the draft started. Melissa, you have Claire. And who else?
Whitney
and then
and
Travis. Okay. Claire, yep. Whitney, Travis.
Yep. 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 We shall see.
Okay. Is that the name of the team?
It should be. Maybe I'll go with Travis likes the beach, right? I'll go with the Beach Blondes.
Beach Blondes.
Yeah, staying away from my monster team name this time because it has not been good for me in the past. So I'm trying something new.
Okay, Puya, you have a team that it seems like the chat loves your team.
I'm vibing with my team. I've got Xavier, I got Derek F, and I've got Sarah from Science.
Okay.
Big trifecta. I'm going to go with the name that this non-CBS merch said. I'm going to go with the Power of Vino for the team. And then if you hide the O, it's Veen. Could be Win mispronounced. I'm okay with that.
Could be. I didn't even think of that.
We'll see. Okay. Yeah. Power of Win.
All right, Taryn, who'd you walk away with?
I have Derek X.
No, I do.
I also have Alyssa, and I have Hannah. I'm pretty pleased with the team. I got all top half picks here for myself, so I feel good. I'm going to call them Team Da.
Da?
Da.
Okay. All right.
Is that yes in Russian? Da.
It's D-A-H.
D-A-H. Da. Okay. And then I ended up with Asa, Tiffany, and Brittany. And we're going to be called the team Don't Get Pauled. Not losing 5-4, 4-3 in the finals. Okay. Take the right person and we're going to win. Team Don't Get Pauled. Okay. There you go. It was a great draft tonight. Great audience.
I think I'll go ahead and just name my team the Ad Winners.
Ad Winners.
That's what's going to happen.
Ad Winners or Ad Winners?
Ad Winners.
Ad Winners.
Okay.
And, you know, in the event that Derek X also wins this game, I'm still going to take it as a personal victory. I'm just saying.
Okay.
As
that's
you should.
Fair enough.
I didn't get to keep Tyler over Winston, so I don't think that's going to work for you.
I'm so sad.
All right. Let's talk about this busy week that's coming up here on the podcast. Okay. And let's talk about the next time we're going to be here with you to talk some Big Brother. It's going to be on Wednesday night. It's going to be Taryn, Melissa, myself, and Chappelle live after the episode coming up Wednesday night. We will.
Are we sure that's a picture of Chappelle?
Yes. Yes.
You can't really tell.
Yeah, that's a Twitter picture. Yeah. So we will be all together live after the episode on a Wednesday night. Hope you can join us. Should be a lot of fun. And that is going to kick off our regular season coverage of Big Brother 23. We've got so much coming your way. Of course, we will be live after the episodes on Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Of course, Taryn will be coming to you live every morning at 11 a.m. Eastern for your live feed updates. Taryn, that's going to be starting on Thursday, correct?
Yes. Night one feeds will happen, and I'll be live the next morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, to update you on what goes down.
Yeah, don't forget about the weekly Big Brother Roundtable on Tuesdays. And we're very excited to bring you not one, but two shows that are coming exclusively to our patron podcast feed this season. On Mondays, I will bring you The Slop. We'll talk about all of the nonsense of the Big Brother world, whether it's from Big Brother 23 or some of the past alumni shenanigans. We will be bringing you The Slop every Monday night. For our patrons only. And then on Fridays that I will be live with Taryn Armstrong, we will be taking calls from the patrons, and we will bring you that show answering all of your questions about the upcoming week on Fridays. The Slop and the call-in show with Taryn and I. That is going to be in our Patreon podcast feed, which you can check out at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Great time to jump in here at the start of the Big Brother season. All right.
Yeah. Don't miss it. Come chat with me.
Come chat with Taryn and I on Fridays, and then come chat with myself and Rachel Riley on Clubhouse. I'm going to be part of the official CBS Big Brother Clubhouse. We're going to be talking about Big Brother 23 with Rachel. Maybe some other special guests will stop by. That's going to be at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, coming up on a Tuesday over on Clubhouse. We had a lot of fun last week with Janelle and Kaser on the special CBS Clubhouse, and I think this is going to be a fun one with Rachel. Okay, and then if you missed it, we're still counting down the top 40 Survivor seasons of all time. Most recently, I talked about the 14th best season of Survivor, Survivor Blood vs. Water, with Mary Kwiatkowski and AJ Norris. Tomorrow night, we will be back to talk about the 13th best season of all time. It's Survivor Borneo. I will be with David Bloomberg and Mel Hulst for that one. Be on the lookout for that as the top 40 countdown shifts to Tuesdays for the home stretch of the top 40 countdown. As we talk about the original season of Survivor here, one day after the birthday of the original season of Big Brother. Of course, every week I talk about a old TV show with Chappelle. Last week we talked about Hell's Kitchen, talked about the season 8 premiere of Hell's Kitchen. But we are very excited for this week when we kick off July with our own Melissa Denny talking about the Joe Schmo Show.
Ooh.
Season 1, episode 3, Melissa.
Melissa is muted.
Yes. Okay. Melissa will be back.
Sorry, I didn't know Chappelle was going to be on that one, too.
Yes.
So exciting.
Okay. Yes. And it's the same picture. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it. Shocking.
Yes.
All right, I'm very excited to talk Joe Schmo.
Later. Joe Schmo is so good.
It's so
Karen, I didn't know you were a big Joe Schmo guy.
I actually watched all of the seasons recently.
Yeah. Okay.
I just binged it this weekend.
I watched the finale of season 1 because I'd remembered seeing that at the time, and then I was like, I need more of this. So I watched all of season 2 and 3.
Okay. Oh my god. So crazy.
Season 1 episode 3 later on this week with Chappelle and Melissa, so be on the lookout for that. Okay, I told you about the two exclusive Big Brother podcast episodes a week that are coming to our Patreon podcast feed. Not to mention other Patreon exclusives like the Patreon 5 for 5 with the First Lady of Podcasting, the weekly feedback show for the top 40 countdown, plus access to our Patreon community on Facebook and Discord, plus much more. Head on over to robhasawebsite.com/patron for more information. Of course, it's the start of July as well, so it's a great time to check it out all month. You can cancel anytime at robhasawebsite.com/patron. And of course, to get the offers from any of the sponsors of Rob's podcast, robhasawebsite.com/offers anytime. And then of course, if you're watching us here on YouTube, it's a great time to hit that subscribe button, hit that bell to be notified. Of course, we're going to have all of our episode recaps coming up after the shows, not to mention Taryn's live feed updates daily. Hit that bell to be notified when we go live. If we're ever running a couple of minutes behind, then you don't have to worry about, wait, did they start yet? When are they going to start? You'll get that bell and then get notified whenever we go live. But we'll do our best to be on time all season long, and I'm sure we won't have any problems with that. Of course, check us out on social media as well, at Rob is a Podcast on Twitter and at RJP Grams, where many of our hosts are taking over on our Instagram. So it's a great way to go behind the scenes with the hosts of Rob is a Podcast. All right. Great stuff here tonight. Very fun. And I guess let me start with Aman. What do you have coming up?
It's pretty much just Drag Race and Big Brother for me for now. Of course, you can still follow me on Twitch at Aman Adwin, where I am still making my way through the Harry Potter series. I just wrapped up the third book. We're moving on to the Goblet of Fire, intending to have a couple of familiar faces swing by. I'm thinking about doing some real Harry Potter radio theater, so I'm excited about that. But yeah, I'm just really excited for Big Brother 23. I'm very pumped. So
okay, Aman, great job on the draft tonight. Sorry you didn't get Derek X.
You can't always get what you want, but it's okay. He's in my spirit.
Okay, all right. Okay, Puya, great to have you here on the draft tonight. We didn't get to talk 90 Day Fiance today. I'm so glad I got my Puya fix in.
Hey, likewise. I'm glad I got my Rob fix in. Yeah, we took a short hiatus on 90 Day this week, but we'll be back next week talking all about this fun season.
The show took a hiatus. We didn't take a hiatus.
We were ready. We were here, quite frankly. They did not give us what we needed, but I did have the pleasure of rewatching the episodes because Liana was catching up and I was in the living room, so I had no choice but to also watch it. So that'll be coming back next week. I will be talking Big Brother live feeds on Friday mornings with Taryn. That's coming back. I'm excited. After BBCan9 really gave us nothing for Friday mornings, I'm looking forward to BB23 giving me something in return. That'll be great. And of course, you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya, where I stream about 3 times a week. We have a good time doing it. Come through. And then Twitter at Puyaism for all my, okay tweets. They're fine. Nothing to write home about, but they're okay. Come through.
These are pretty good.
Oh, thank you, Rob. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Of course, the first of three podcasts with the voice of the people this week, Melissa Denny. Melissa, what else is going on for you?
Mainly this, to be honest.
Okay.
So, I'm very excited to podcast about Joe Schmo. I had asked about that a long time ago, and luckily Sam came to me. I was like, hey, we're thinking of Joe Schmo. So, yes, I'm very excited for that. Also, of course, excited for the premiere. Cannot wait, Big Brother. And so, yeah, it's going to be a fun season.
Well, I know how seriously you take these shows, because when we talked about Kid Nation back in January with Phil Thompson, that you were so serious about Kid Nation.
Yes. And very serious about Joe Schmo as well. Although, to be honest, the Kid Nation had more content, like more recent content that I could watch and like learn more about like the inner workings of the show. Whereas Joe Schmo, I feel like we haven't heard about it in a while. So, you know, we'll see. But I watched Joe Schmo back when I was, you know, however old, I don't even remember, but when it was airing live, and my family was obsessed with it. And we still quote it to this day. So, you know, if you haven't already seen it, you really should go check it out. It's available on YouTube, the full season for season one, at least. I haven't checked for season two, but you should check it out and listen to the podcast.
I'll watch the first couple episodes. I've never seen it.
You've never seen it?
No.
Oh my God.
I think I've seen clips of it, but I've never seen
what?
The show.
Okay, whoa. Okay, that's fine. If you want to watch the first few episodes, that's fine. But you at least have to watch the finale.
Okay. All right.
You can skip around, but the finale is like, it's so amazing.
Let me just watch the first three episodes for the podcast, and then I can continue on if I like it.
We need to talk about the finale. That's where the reveal happens. That's the crazy thing.
That's fine. All right. We'll work it out. We'll work it out. Of course. And then, of course, the man who's moved across the country and is ready to go for Big Brother 23. Taryn, any final words about the long off season?
I thought that I would have a little more time. Turns out I didn't. It's been interesting. Hopefully I will soon have some kind of setup here for when the season starts, or at least shortly after the season starts. We'll see. I'm very excited. I'm very optimistic and hopeful for the cast and the show and the season. So, fingers crossed. You can of course find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I will try to get something in soon here to talk about not only my experience moving across the country last minute, but also to talk some more about Big Brother in the lead up to the premiere. So look out for me there. You can, of course, find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Just watch me every morning. 11 a.m.
Yeah, Taryn still hasn't answered my DM. That's why we both got cut from Sequester, because I was like, I can't. I refuse to work with this man.
How many people are waiting for a response from me? It is unfortunate. Melissa. Shameful. Probably Puya.
Shameful.
Wow. Of course, before you get ready to watch live feeds, if you are looking to subscribe to the feeds, head on over to robswebsite.com/live feeds if you want to grab the feeds for Paramount Plus, now the new version of CBS All Access for this season. So if you already had it, it should still work. But if you need to sign up, robswebsite.com/live feeds. Thank you so much for having fun with us here tonight. We will see you back on Wednesday for the recap of episode number 1 of Big Brother 23. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know it's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.